on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Great to have you for another episode as we continue our journey throughout the Coyote athletics season. And of course, the student athletes have been busy. You know, last week we talked a lot about the crossover season, and it is in full effect this week. The basketball teams opened up their season on Monday. Of course, football is two games left in the regular season. Volleyball has three games left in the regular season at the time that we do this podcast, two at home, and then, of course, a Tuesday matchup at South Dakota State. That's all leading up to the Summit League Volleyball Tournament, which will be in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center in Vermilion. So it is busy, busy, busy. I know that, indoor track and field has been really practicing. They're going to be competing here before too long. Swimming and diving has been in action here in the last couple of weeks. So it has been really busy around USD. And of course, the cross country teams, they go to the Midwest Regional this week. The women's team coming off of their Summit League Championship here a couple of weeks ago. So obviously we hope that they can have a good success, great success down in the Oklahoma region, and see how they can do. Everybody trying to get to the NCAA championships, which are in Charlottesville, Virginia, for cross country. So it's a busy time of year, you know all that. And then we start crossover season, we get some of these things going on, and we squeeze in National Signing Day for everything except for football, right? And so we have seen, obviously, the additions for men's basketball, for women's basketball, track and field, volleyball. I mean, all teams are announcing additions this week. And I always think it's an exciting time for coaches. It's an exciting time for student athletes because for a lot of these individuals, now some of these kids have been committed for a period of time to whatever institution they're going to go to, right? They had decided on that a while ago, and they've been committed, so they felt good about it. But there's still the stress in the back of your mind. As a coach, there's a stress in the back of your mind as a student-athlete of what needs to happen, what do you need to do to just make that thing official. Well, this was the week that we were able to do that, and so a big day, National Signing Day on Wednesday, and I know that kept a lot of our staff very, very, very busy with what they were doing, trying to kick out graphics, social media posts, some articles, things like that. So it's been a busy, busy week, and it just doesn't stop there. This is a huge week for the town of Vermilion, huge week for USD as a community. We get the high school football championships that'll go all day Thursday and Friday. The final championship game is set to wrap up on Saturday night, and that's going to be a busy, busy day in Vermilion. I mean, if you want an all-day sporting event, you got tailgating in the morning on Saturday, kickoff at North Dakota at noon, volleyball at 4 o'clock. They're going to honor the seniors following the match against NDSU. And then and then you have the final high school football championship on Saturday night. So it's a busy, busy stretch. Give the facilities folks a break when you're going to the Dome in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center this week, because this is an exceptionally taxing week for so many people. USD staff, their tickets folks, they handle all the ticketing for the high school championships. A lot of USD staff is involved with running a lot of things and facilities, and so it's a busy time. So just give them kind of the just give them a little break this week. If things aren't working the way that you believe that they should be working, certainly give them that break. You know, we look at the football season. Obviously, this is a big football matchup for South Dakota against North Dakota, and I talked about potential playoff situations last week, and we'll do that again here today because every game is important, right? We know that in football. You only get so many opportunities, and you're trying to make it to the postseason. It feels like South Dakota is a lock to be in the postseason. They have two games left in the regular season. They get North Dakota at home on Saturday, then a road trip to Western Illinois. So, we know every game is important, but here's why this is super important for both USD and for North Dakota. Let's start with North Dakota. If the Fighting Hawks lose this game, they will have three losses in conference play. They still have a matchup with Illinois State, which I think it has the potential to be a really, really good matchup in the Alaris Center next week. So if they can get a win against South Dakota, it maybe relaxes them a little bit. It doesn't feel as pressing to get a win next week to get yourself into the playoffs, where it'll almost be a must-win next week for UND if they do lose this game to South Dakota. Now, South Dakota should be just about locked into the playoffs. The final matchup of the regular season is Western Illinois. They have been exceptionally bad this year. And I'm not saying that doesn't mean they can't step up and win a game, but at that point in the season, if they don't win at Indiana State this week, Western Illinois will have zero losses. They'll be 0-10 going into that final stretch. And you look at their last few games before this weekend, they've given up 50, 63, 52, 48, 49, 37, 43, 34, 58. It has been a really, really tough go for Western Illinois this year. And that will be their final game in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, right? They're off to the Ohio Valley next year. So they might throw out all the stops to try to knock off USD in that final game. But it feels like if South Dakota plays the way it's capable of, that that should be a win in Macomb. If South Dakota wins these final two games of the season, they will be a top eight seed in the playoffs, because they're not going to keep a team from being a top eight seed that has nine wins and only one loss against the FCS, and that FCS loss being the number one ranked team in the country. Now, if South Dakota splits these two, I keep getting this question. What if South Dakota happens to lose a close one to North Dakota and then win at Western Illinois? Can they still get a seed? It's possible, but I think they need a lot of help. And the reason I think they need a lot of help is it depends what North Dakota does next week, right? Because if the Fighting Hawks were to win that game, they would have a better conference record, or equal conference record, I should say, with South Dakota. And they would have the head-to-head matchup. The other thought that you have to consider is Northern Iowa's hanging around. They play at Missouri State this week, and then they get North Dakota State, who may be desperate at that point to wrap up the year. If Northern Iowa wins out here, they will have one loss in the conference. So if at that point it feels like the conference at best would get two seeded teams, and it would be SDSU and Northern Iowa. So I really think this is important. Now, I'm not saying USD can't get a seed without winning these final two, because it's certainly possible, but I think they're going to need some help to make that happen. There's certainly no lock to be in that conversation. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, they're just focused on North Dakota and trying to figure out what happens here, but USD should be just about a lock into the playoffs. And here's what's great about a top eight seed, right? You all know this. If South Dakota is able to get a top eight seed, then you're going to have Thanksgiving weekend off. You're going to have a home game on December 2nd. You can mark that down as just the way it'll be in the FCS playoffs. And what's great, we've never had a home game in round number two. Right, so this would be a step in a huge step in the right direction for the program. This is how you continue to build your program with recruits, when you start showing them, look, we were a top eight seed this year. We had a home game in the second round of the FCS playoffs, potentially a home game in the quarterfinals. Maybe it's a win in the quarterfinals and on to the semis. We don't know how the season's going to play out, but a lot of things to go here, and this is a big game. Senior day for the Kiowa football team, and it's a huge game for South Dakota when you look at how everything just matches up with USD, UND, and the rest of the conference playoff, or conference race, I should say. I mean, this is a big week. South Dakota State plays at Youngstown State. Youngstown State needs probably a couple of wins, or for sure one here down the stretch, to be in that playoff consideration. I mean, right now going into this week, we have five teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference that have two losses or less. There are three more teams with three losses. Illinois State could enter the conversation of the playoffs by the end of the year. Southern Illinois and NDSU play this week. That feels like an elimination game in Fargo. It might not necessarily be, but it feels like it could be an elimination game in Fargo. So there are some big matchups here over the final 2 weeks of the season. It's an exciting time to be a fan of the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Coming up in the show, we will preview the North Dakota Fighting Hawks with Jack Michaels, the play-by-play voice of the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. But let's get it started with Mike Jewett. I had a chance to catch up with one of the newest assistant coaches for Kayla Carius and women's basketball, who spent almost a decade coaching the Jackrabbits and has moved on. And after a couple of years off, why did he take that time off? We get into all of that. He ends up at South Dakota and now is coaching here at USD. So we will we have that conversation with Mike Jewett. Great conversation that we had earlier this week.
Mike, how are you? How did it feel to get back on the floor? I know, at least in a game setting, like a regular season game setting, it's been a few years for you.
Yeah, no, it's been a couple of years, no doubt. But it was good. Really enjoyed it. Have enjoyed my time here. Kayla's been great to work with, and as have Gabby and T.I., and our players have been really receptive, and I'm not going to lie, I think maybe not as much against Northern, but against Wayne State, where, you know, now you've got the lights are on, the clock's on, and you got real officials. I was probably a little more hyped up for that one than the Northern game, because then you're back at it. This is the real deal, you know, you take pride in your coaching, you take pride in your teaching, and you want that to then translate onto the floor. And so getting yourself ready too, but sometimes that means calming yourself down rather than hyping yourself up, which happens with a lot of athletes as well. But no doubt it's fun. Fun to be in the arena, being supported, rather than the previous times when I've been in the arena here and been rooted against. So that was always it was a better feeling, I should say.
You know, obviously people know that you spend a long time at South Dakota State, and you'd stepped away from coaching for a couple of years. When did you know during that time that maybe you wanted to think about going back into coaching? You were AD, I believe, at Brookings yeah. High School, right? And at some point, you just felt like you had that itch again.
Yeah, I mean, I got out of coaching at SDSU because I got tired of missing my own kids' stuff. And with my oldest at playing at Augie, and then my son was going to be a senior, it gave me an opportunity to spend much more time with them, and then chase my youngest around, plays a ton of travel softball during the summer. So I don't regret doing that, because you don't get those opportunities back. But it wasn't too far in when you realize that administration, you're off on an island. And unless things go sour or people are unhappy, you have to be real purposeful going out and trying to connect and build relationships with students and student athletes. And that's the part that really brought me back, is that I missed those relationships. I missed, believe it or not, I missed recruiting. I really enjoy recruiting. Building relationships with families, selling your product, convincing student athletes and families why this is the best option for you, and then building that trust once they come, and you're pushing them and challenging them beyond what they probably think they're capable of. But because you've established trust, then you know they're on board with it. That, and then the competitive side of me, you know, you just you mentioned being back on game night. There's nothing like preparation, getting your team ready, but there's also nothing like in-game adjustments, where you've got to try and you know, counter what somebody else, your opponent's doing, and that, all those things. It wasn't too long into administrative role where I thought, you know what, if there's an opportunity that keeps me in the area and I can still get to my kids' stuff, that I would jump at it, and this is the place.
What is it about the recruiting and getting to know these student athletes, even when they get to campus, and trying to help them grow, not only as basketball players, but as individuals? What is it about that you enjoy? Because you could tell that you really missed it for a while.
Yeah, I think the longer I've done it, you might not realize it while you're building those relationships, the importance of them, but it's after they've graduated, and then now you're getting a wedding invite or you're getting a birth announcement, then you realize your impact, right? Because they've thought highly enough of you to invite them to one of their most special occasions, or to let you know, hey, by the way, I had a baby, or I'm expecting, or whatever. So those are the things I think that if you go about it the right way, and trust me, early in my career, I was much more about X's and O's than I was relationships. But there was at some point in my early 30s, mid 30s, I'm like, you know what, if this is going to be a career, I've got to start with the relationship side of things first, and then challenge them to be the best players they can be. And so since then, I think I've become a better coach. I've become a better teacher. I know I've become a better mentor for young people. But at the same time, I know based on those that trust factor in those relationships that I can challenge kids and push kids. And that package, I think, is what it's all about. And when you have that complete package, like I said, then it's when they're long gone and they still text you, or they direct message you, or they stay in touch, then you realize the impact you've had.
What was it about this opportunity, a young head coach, a program that had gone obviously through some change? We'd been through the Sweet 16, but graduated some key players, and obviously a younger coaching staff. What was it about this opportunity that made you say, you know what, maybe this is the next step?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. One, being a South Dakota kid, born and raised in South Dakota, I think high school basketball is special in South Dakota, but I think college basketball, not just Division I women's basketball, but you can look at whether you go to Division II, NAIA, there's a lot of really special basketball programs, and people support it. And I might have been at SDSU for nearly a decade, but I know how passionate and supportive, you know, the Yolt fan base is. And so that was also part of it, the history and the success of the program, you know, that there's the resources are here to be successful. And I think that's a big factor. And then I knew Kayla, knew her husband Rick probably a little bit better. He was assistant on the men's staff at Southwest Minnesota State when I was the head women's coach at Southwest Minnesota State. And so when I met with her and she said, hey, this is what I'm looking for, politely telling me basically I need an old man with some experience, I thought, hey, this is a good fit, right? I can do that. And it has been. I think that she's open and has given me a voice, and I appreciate that. She's trusted me with a lot of responsibility. But I think it's also an opportunity to help her establish her own philosophy and be supportive in that role too. So all those factors, I think, led me to where I'm at and why I'm here.
You're an Aggie guy. You coached at SDSU, now coached at USD. Did you intend on the full South Dakota tour here?
You know, those that are old enough to remember the old NCC are probably scratching their head. Yeah. Going, wait a minute, what in the world? Yeah, it's funny. You know, when I first started college coaching, I was Dave Krause's assistant. This would have been probably, well, I was a student assistant in 92 and his first full-time assistant in 96 or 7. And at that time, Augie only offered a master's in educational leadership. So while I was his assistant, I commuted down here and got my master's from USD in athletic administration. So I'm a graduate, right? And then I've known AJ at SDSU for 25 years. And so when the opportunity came to work for him, it was a chance for me to learn from somebody who's obviously had a ton of success, but also have a pretty substantial role in an area that I was familiar with. So just the way it worked out. And you and I have talked, you know, I might be an Aggie guy, but I'm a South Dakotan, and I want South Dakota kids and families to do well. And certainly when I was at Augie, I wanted to beat the U and beat State. And when I was at State, I wanted to beat the U. And now that I'm at the U, I want to beat State. But outside of that, I want our local kids to have success at whatever level they're competing at the collegiate level. I just think it's good for the state, and we've got to support one another. And I'll do that no matter where I'm at.
This will be a different conversation when the time comes, but at some point, obviously, you'll go against South Dakota State, and you'll be in Brookings in wearing a different different color, and I'm sure it'll come with some different emotions and a little bit strangeness, probably for a little bit anyways, because of the time that you spent there. But how has the transition for you been, putting on red clothes and the coyote gear and some of that, and just, I mean, with obviously your passion and your time spent at SDSU?
Yeah, it it's, you know, there was 2 years where I was removed, so that helped a little bit. I'll tell you what, though, if I had a dollar for every time somebody said, hey, you look good in red, or, oh, I'm not used to seeing you in red, I could probably retire. And honestly, it probably is more of a conversational piece for the passionate fan base that each university has. For me, it's about coaching the kids that are in the program and trying to provide them with the best experience, helping our staff in any way possible. And so no matter where I'm at, you know, that's going to be my goal and purpose moving forward.
Well, it certainly doesn't hurt that Brookings High School was red as well. So you kind of have that a little bit.
Yeah, I went from having very little red or, you know, just a few Bobcat items to, you know, now having a closet full of red. But it's all good. And like I said, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited about the opportunity and appreciate the role and responsibility that Kayla's given me.
We'll learn more about this team as it continues here through the season. And obviously, you've seen them up close and personal. This is a team that's changed a little bit with some transfers, and obviously getting some bodies healthy certainly have helped from last year. What do you like about this year's team and the possibilities that exist with it?
Well, I like their eagerness, their coachability. I mean, there's a hunger there where they want to get better. They want to keep improving. They want to be challenged. I think we've got a variety of offensive weapons where maybe last year, you know, we might have been more one-dimensional, but some of our inside players, you know, have developed their game, and then obviously getting a couple more perimeter kids that can knock down shots, can be primary ball handlers, has given us more diversity there. But overall, I just like the fact that they're willing to learn, they're willing to play together, especially on the offensive end. And then defensively, we're just trying to get them to understand how all five have a role and responsibility and how all that works together.
Excited to see how the season plays out. Mike, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this year.
Appreciate it. Go Yotes.
He's Mike Jewett, an assistant basketball coach for the Coyote Women's Basketball Program, and head coach Kayla Carias, obviously a coach who you could just tell. He loves coaching the student-athletes. He loves connecting to people. And I love that he said he just wants to see South Dakota kids have success. And so we're excited to have him at USD and what he can help bring to the table for South Dakota women's basketball. We'll continue to see Mike Jewett on the sidelines here throughout the course of the season. South Dakota back home this week to take on the North Dakota Fighting Hawks, an old rivalry renewed in a big way this weekend. Both teams are fighting for playoff spot, playoff positioning, and both teams have their sights set on the postseason. We're joined now by the radio play-by-play voice of the North Dakota Fighting Hawks, Jack Michaels. Jack, great to chat with you as always. You've really been having a fun season for North Dakota.
My dear friend, John, great to be on with you to talk a little football, talk about this game. And, yeah, it has been. The season at times is, you know, it get a little traction, took a step back, gets a little traction, took a little step back, and now is getting traction again. And then in a nutshell, that's kind of been the season this year.
You look at this game, and it's a big one for many reasons for North Dakota, but this could be the first time this season they win three consecutive games. Does that feel like it's important for this group as they try to build confidence going into the postseason?
Yeah, it really does, because, you know, if anybody's followed, and now I guess what is this, my 12th year, I suppose, for North Dakota football play-by-play, the team has been extremely successful at the Alera Center, and what, I think one of what, 20 four to less 26 or 25 or 27. So they've been very good at home. And the one thing that has eluded North Dakota has been consistently, you know, winning on the road. And finally, you know, last week, and take this year, for instance, you know, traveled to Boise State, FBS opponent, had a good start, and then things got a little off rail and then lost, you know, go to Brookings. And then what happens to everybody when they go to Brookings, apparently lost that one by 21. So again, that elusive, those road wins, and I used the word traction earlier, getting any kind of traction on the road over years has been somewhat difficult. Home been great, road's been a little difficult. I think Coach Bubba Schwager has tried anything from you know, going on the field on a Friday night to not trying to change a little bit of whatever it is. Well, last week they went on the road and finally got a road win. Now Murray State, you know, John Hastings had the season that they probably want. They're getting baptized into the Valley, and we all know how tough the Valley is. But North Dakota got to win on the road. So you're talking about winning three in a row. Granted, Indiana State gave him everything they could handle at home, went down to Murray State, looked like it was going to be a blowout, but kind of let Murray State back in, but got to win on the road. Now, you talk about winning on the road and then winning on the road in Vermilion. That might even be another different level or chapter as far as UND. So the hurdle is high again for North Dakota.
What do you make of this team right now? They got that big win at home over North Dakota State, did a lot of things in that game to get that win over the Bison. Then obviously the next week couldn't score at Northern Iowa. And, of course, the social medias are asking if UND put everything they had into that game against NDSU. They survived one against Indiana State, rallied very late to force overtime and get that one. And now a win. What do you make of this team the last 4 weeks or so?
It would have been easy, John, because I was hearing the same thing and looking at hangover, that big win, and it burst, you know. I don't know, you know, it because two things. The win against North Dakota State and South Dakota can attest to win on the road at NDSU, which is just phenomenal. But it wasn't just the win over North Dakota State. It was the 49-24 win, and it wasn't even that close. It was how they beat North Dakota State. You know, how they ran between the tackles, North Dakota, how they grounded Gavin Zebarth for 156 yards. And, you know, Luke Skokner returns a kickoff to start the game 100 yards plus for a touchdown and various. It was how they beat them. And you thought, wow, well, is that the experienced offensive line blowing up holes? Was NDSU not ready? All that. Then you go the next week, as you mentioned, to Northern Iowa. It's their homecoming, and obviously all the pomp and circumstance in Cedar Falls. Cedar Falls wins the coin toss, takes the ball, which oftentimes you don't see. You know, wins the coin toss, takes the ball. What does UND? Stop them three and out. You know, here you go. Something like similar to what happened in Boise State. Had a good start. Start going down the field and fumble the football. And it seemed like that right there against Northern Iowa put the cart off rails a little bit, and they just could never recover from that. So I don't know if it was a hangover from the big win or not, because they certainly were in a position to make some noise. And, you know, Tommy Schuster didn't have a great game, but the line didn't have a great game against Northern Iowa. And UNI is a good football team too. So you walk back going, boy, you just blew out one of the top teams in the country. And I mean, blew out. And then you go on the road and kind of, you know, you hurt yourself. You don't play as well. And then you then from that, by the way, John, then you go home when you think you're just going to maybe, you know, smoke a team. But you don't, because Indiana State plays really tough, methodical football. And then you're in a dogfight with the Sycamores, and you have to force overtime and field goals. And then you're like, okay. And they go on the road to Murray State, and that thing was, you know, it's 31-10. You're thinking, here's a blowout. What happens? Murray State comes back and puts 31 on the board, and you need 45 points to win it. So, Johnny, I'll tell you, and I still have hair, but at times it gets a little less as we move along this week. It's been that kind of season.
Well, tell me about the Fighting Hawks. This offense, obviously, a lot of it starts with Tommy Schuster. He's now the record-setting quarterback for touchdowns. I think it was in a career. He's thrown 9 touchdowns the last 2 games combined, so they've really leaned on him. And I know that he loves Bo Bellquist and some other guys, but it seems like everything they do offensively starts with Tommy Schuster.
It really does. And I had mentioned, you know, as you and I own football guys too, that it starts up front, obviously, and every coach will tell you, and that's very true on the line. You got to protect Tommy. You've got to put him in spots to succeed. But he really is a joy to be able to call games for, and he's such a poised young man. I mean, literally, you could have 3 streakers and Morgana run past him during a game, and he wouldn't blink an eye. You know, this is the kind of poise that Tommy Schuster has. And when he's good and on, he is really good and on, and he's able to use his legs a little bit too, even though Tommy's about making decisions and finding guys. And you mentioned Bo Bellquist. He has guys like that. You know, a guy you're familiar with in Wesley Elidor, now a Fighting Hawk. You know, Wesley has found a way to really contribute to North Dakota. It's really fun to see him perform. He caught Tommy's record-breaking touchdown catch-and-run pass down at Murray State that put Tommy as UND's all-time touchdown passing leader. That was kind of a little pitch to Wesley, and he ran it some 47 yards in. But he's got the wideouts, and I think, John, the one thing I'd say with the running backs and the backfield and getting yards, You know, Gavin Zeebarth ran for 156 against North Dakota State. But he got dinged up, so he's been out a couple of weeks and been in a boot. He's been back, I think, practicing this week, so hopefully he'll be available. You know, Luke Skokta has been in that backfield. You know, they use him on special teams in slots in the backfield. And, you know, he limped a little bit, nothing major in that Murray State game. We'll see that. And then Isaiah Smith, you know, another guy that can break free and tremendous speed, good stiff arm. You know, he runs for 150 yards against Murray State. So they've utilized a lot of different running backs that have been able to churn yards up. And, you know, it's been kind of fun to see. Those are just a few of the names. And then you're led by an offensive coordinator, Danny Freund, who is a mad scientist. So, I mean, what he comes up with every week, John, I don't know how it is for you, but I don't like to know plays. You know, I just want to call a game and see it and see what I call what I see. I don't know what Danny Freund's going to dial up on Saturday. It's just kind of fun to kind of sit back and see what's going to happen with that offense.
How about defensively? Is that a concern right now for UND? They've given up, obviously, a handful of points in some of the games, but when you're outscoring them, it doesn't matter. But is that a concern for them?
Yeah, I think if anybody sits back and you ask the coaches too, that's got to be a concern. You know, yes, they put up 45 against Murray State, but gave up 31. Yes, they scored 36 against Indiana State, but gave up 33 and won in an overtime. So that's 64 points given up in the last 2 weeks, and not to mention the 27 that Northern Iowa scored the time before. So I think tackling, as simple as that sounds, got to get better at. And if they're going to make a run or get into the postseason or find a way to get big wins, they're going to have to shore that up pretty big. And you know, you like what you have in a corner. C.J. Siegel is really good at his position. Inside linebackers, you know, Wyatt Pettigo is a really good inside linebacker. The rushers, when you look at it, you know, because you're talking about a 3-4, you know, Jalen Johnson, Jeff Griffin, and Marty Ogbu or whoever's in that, you know, they've got to find a way to get to quarterbacks. North Dakota's been able to get to quarterbacks, but just not bring them down. And maybe that's just the way it is now in college football. Everybody's either rolling out, and they're tough to bring down. You can get to them, but you can't bring them down. And so, yeah, defensively, giving up some points. You know, the UND's got the talent. You know, those backers are good. Ted Mullen's a veteran outside linebacker. Josh Navratil is a senior that's played in a lot of games. I mentioned Pettigo's really good. You know, C.J. Siegel, one of the top corners in FCS, or certainly in the Valley. I think they got the guys, John. It just, you know, some missed tackles, got to be a concern the last couple of weeks, and that is going to have to be paramount in play against a team as good as South Dakota.
It is fascinating to me that North Dakota has attempted 4 field goals this entire right. season, and really they haven't come until the last couple of weeks. So that means they're scoring some touchdowns when they get down there, or they're trying some trickery. I know they've tried fake field goal here or there, right. but man, that is fascinating. 4 total field goal attempts.
You sound like what I just said like a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, I turn around and what is it, Harry Doyle and Major? That's all we got is one run. That's all we get. It's, I'm thinking, that's all we've attempted is 2 field goals coming up. But they just don't do it. I don't think it's, you know, Brady Stevens was kicking field goals, and love Brady, good young man. But, you know, maybe confidence was dented a bit. And now a younger kicker, C.J. Elricks, has come in to kick. And you're right. You know, think about this. You're an absolute – if you lose against Indiana State, if you're North Dakota, would that have been the season? Maybe, depending on what happens, obviously, against the Yotes. I mean, that was a must-not-lose game, let's put it that way, against Indiana State. And it comes down, they force a field goal to tie the game to force overtime, in which they won. And you haven't made a field goal all season. And now you send the young leg and C.J. Elricks out there, and granted, for 32, and I don't know, is that a chip shot for kickers these days? I don't know. Never have only attempted 2, and he drills it. And I'm thinking, whew, and every collective breath just sighed relief in the entire northern end of the Red River Valley going, okay. I think it's a case where if it comes down to a long field goal or going for it on fourth down and short, or fourth down and maybe even medium, UND is just kind of defaulted back to going for it, John. And that's, you know, and maybe now that Elricks has hit a couple, maybe they kick more. But, yeah, they certainly have been a team that has that's going to go for things more than they are going
to
kick.
Well, having a big body like Quincy Vaughn to come in there and push across that O-line, that certainly lends yourself to fourth and short. We're going to try to push this thing.
The tush push is not just the Eagles doing that tush push. You know if four's in there and Quincy Vaughn. And I always thought this guy's coccyx must be just bruised because the Jaden Norby is the – they bring the tight end behind him. And Norby must know the – I wonder if they even practice this because – if you see it, 43 is the tight end for those that are watching it at the dome and whatnot. And then four's your guy that'll step in there, Vaughn, as John said. But if it's for the short, there's no question what they're going to do. Vaughn's going to get it. He's going to push. And then Norby's going to push behind him. And that's how you move chains.
Jack, how about this matchup? Obviously, it's a big one for both teams as we close in on the season, but it goes deeper than that, in my opinion. They've heard so much about South Dakota State and North Dakota State, and they've certainly been tremendous. But when North Dakota and South Dakota finally caught up at Division I and eventually have gotten to the Missouri Valley Football Conference, I think this is kind of what we hope for. This is the vision that we had with old rivalries being renewed and playing extremely meaningful games, and not just bragging rights games, but meaningful games at the end of the season.
I tell you, Johnny, years ago, one of the just most thrilling games I've ever called was a North Dakota South Dakota game in the Alera Center, and I know they've had big ones down in South Dakota too, and that have gone overtime and just drag out stuff. And you're right, for schools like South Dakota and North Dakota that have tried to advance and close the gap between the successes that North Dakota State and South Dakota State has had, you almost feel like there's that chip on your shoulder to close that gap. And obviously we're seeing USD do that and then some, and seeing North Dakota that has always been there but haven't been able to beat North Dakota State. Well, they erased that this year. You know, been there, haven't been able to get to another round in the postseason like the other two schools we talked about. So, yeah, I think these two schools – If there's a flag to stick in the ground to say, hey, we've got our territory too, you know, that flag is full of red and white with a coyote head on it in vermilion and a fighting hawk, Kelly Green and White in Grand Forks, saying, hey, we're trying to stick our flag. We too are here for the party. And you know, you might want to say that with the success of South Dakota State and North Dakota State, where credit is due, with the teams that they have been building, the depth that they're building, it forces the rest of the league, you better rise up or you're going to just fade away. Well, obviously South Dakota has risen up, and I think North Dakota has too.
With all of your creativity, how have you not developed a traveling trophy between South Dakota and North Dakota?
I mean, really, how does that not happen? You know, like in, I know in the Acme cartoons, you know, where the coyote and the roadrunner, you know, roadrunners, you know, coyotes trying, you know, you could go down that route and just have like a big anvil. I don't know if that would work. I don't know if there's a, you know, there should be something between Vermilion and Grand Forks. John, maybe a couple of fellows like us that are obviously highly educated could come up with something between the two schools.
We might be able to make it too. Let's see what we can do. All right. We'll put our heads together.
Maybe an interlocking SN or a, you would, you know, maybe we just take like Letterman, take the one letter out and we create some. Yeah, we'll figure it. Find out, John, what is exactly the middle between Vermilion and Grand Forks.
Okay.
And whatever town that is, maybe we can do that. We'll do geography.
All right. We'll see what we can do. Jack, always great to chat with you. Can't wait to see you on Saturday. Should be a fun matchup in the dome on Saturday afternoon. Thanks so much.
Awesome, brother. Good to be on with you. And yeah, it should be a fun game. Thanks, John.
That's Jack Michaels. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Coyotes and Fighting Hawks set to play on Saturday. The old rivalry. These two teams have played a ton in the years, right? And then we had a little bit of separation, but now it's all back and feels normal again. So let's continue to build that rivalry. And I'm telling you, I know it's been mentioned on the social medias, we've got to find a traveling trophy for North Dakota and South Dakota, because why not? So let's see what we can accomplish there. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Thursday night volleyball takes on Oral Roberts. It's a 6 o'clock start time, and that available on the Summit League Network. Cross country heads to the NCAA Midwest Regional in Stillwater, Oklahoma. That is a Friday event and gets underway at 10:30 a.m. The women's cross country team will run first, and then the men's race is set to follow. Women's basketball team is at number 22 Creighton on Friday. Note the early start time. It is 11:30 a.m. that start time. And that will be on the Coyote Sports Network with Jerry Pelleschi. And Friday night, hope you can join us from the Sanford Pentagon in Sioux Falls. Coyote men's basketball team takes on UT Rio Grande Valley at 7 o'clock. We'll also have that game available on the Coyote Sports Network as well. Also coming up this week, we've mentioned it a number of times, it's a top 15 matchup between South Dakota and North Dakota. It's a kickoff at noon. We will be on the air on the Coyote Sports Network at 11 a.m., also, that game available on Midcoast Sports as well, so check it out if you can't be there. But try to get there. Let's pack the dome for Senior Day for the Coyote football team. Big, big stretch for USD. Women's Triathlon is at the USA Triathlon Collegiate National Championship in Tempe, Arizona. That is set for Saturday afternoon. And at 4 o'clock on Saturday, the Coyote volleyball team will take on North Dakota State. At 4 o'clock that day, it is Senior Day following. They will recognize the seniors following that matchup. And then Coyote volleyball back in action next Tuesday when they take on South Dakota State in Brookings. It's a 7 o'clock start time. It's going to be a busy day in Coyote sports because the women's basketball team will play host to Northern Colorado. That is Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. And the Coyote men are on the road. They're in Chicago to take on DePaul at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night as well. So it'll be a busy, busy stretch next week. And then the Coyote men's basketball team will head to Arizona. Coyote women's basketball team will head to the Bahamas. And neither one of them will be concerned about us who are not in the warm weather climates. And we're stuck back here dealing with whatever wind and weather that Mother Nature decides we deserve. But that's all coming up in Coyote Athletics. Hope you can catch a game, match, or meet very, very soon. For all of the scheduling information, for ticket information, and so much more, visit goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. Thanks to Mike Jewett. Thanks to Jack Michaels for joining the podcast this week. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.